Welcome to Boys and Brunch. This is the show where we expose everything going down on the timeline. And, you know, speaking of the timeline, if you're watching this on YouTube, the timeline at the bottom of the screen will be broken up into different sections so you can jump straight to the topic that you want to listen to. Now, today we are talking about Chad Ochocinco's 2.2 GPA tweet. And then we're moving into Eva Mendez, her statement on spanking that she posted on Instagram. Then we move into staying in a relationship after a failed marriage proposal. And then we're going to close off with losing focus on love. I think it's going to be a very interesting conversation this week.
So last
right. Oh, that's going to be a doozy. But, you know, we've gone through some really tough situations this past week. And so that's why, you know, we're kind of broadening our subjects a little bit, our topics a little bit, to not just be completely focused on viral or largely talked about topics. So because we always just want to provide a space of respite, I guess, you know, just a place to kind of rest after all the craziness that has been going on in the news, you know. So anyway, I'm Jared D. King, and I am joined by my co-hosts Brandon Harris Williams and Marcus Haynes. Hello, guys.
Hola.
Hello.
So why don't you guys give us a quick update on what's been going on? Marcus, let's start with you because I know you have some big news to share. And what you're drinking as well.
Okay. Yes. So as some of you may have seen on the social medias, I am finally on four wheels again. I was able to get a new car on Monday, and I now am the proud owner of a Ford Mustang, pretty blue. So I'm very happy about that. Awesome. And that's probably my biggest update because the rest of the week I've just been joyriding. But believe it or not, at the moment, I just have orange juice. I ate my breakfast a little late, so I'm still drinking my orange juice. But don't worry, by the end of the hour and certainly by the after show, I shall be pouring up.
Okay, sounds good. Congrats on the car. I know that has been an ordeal for you, so I'm glad that that chapter is closed.
Yes.
Brandon, why don't you give us a quick update and let us know what you're drinking today?
I'm job searching. That's something I am relocating. Won't say exactly where yet, but yeah. What else is going on? Just that I hung out with some friends last night that I hadn't seen in a while, so we just drank and cut up and watched TV. They have been watching some crazy serial killer show, and I just, you know, yeah. And today I'm drinking tequila, and then I had some grapefruit juice, but like I was twerking as I was pouring, so the grapefruit juice fell. And so I submitted made it here.
Well, look, it was made with a lot of love and a lot of energy.
Yeah, throw baby heavy just going. Sorry. Just, you know.
All right. So for my little quick update, I did have a trip to New York this past weekend, Friday and Saturday. I was in New York. Met with a few friends, met with Ty McKinney, who is part of the Gorgeois crew. It didn't even put person. It was a fun little time that we had there. And then I had actual brunch yesterday. So yeah. So basically the reason that I'm only doing coffee today is because of the past 2 days. I had I must have had like 8 glasses of wine. It was insane. So you know, I was like, you know, being sloppy Jared. And then the next day, you know, the mimosas and all that stuff. So, but anyway, I did get this cute mug from my mom that was waiting for me. It says, follow your rainbow. I thought it was so sweet. So, and you know, I love a nice mug.
Right. We did the same thing.
You guys are just so in sync. What can I say? Anyway, I want to say hello to everybody who has joined us. Mama Shay, LT Willio, Connected. I see you guys in the chat. I'm running a little long on this intro, so I'm going to jump straight into our first topic. We're going to talk about Chad Ochocinco and this 2.2 GPA tweet that he made. And I'm just going to share this on the screen. So let me pull this up. I should have had this loaded already, but forgive me. application window. Okay, here we go.
I would say we're blaming on the 8 drinks.
Here we go. All right, so this is a text conversation that he posted on Twitter between his daughter and himself. He says, parenting 101, kids don't understand the sacrifices it takes. And then he posts the text messages go from his daughter, Daddy. He says, yes, ma'am. She says, let me go to Token Miami to get more shoes. I'm gonna come with you because I want to get these Yeezys that they have. He responds, you said you were getting a job. I worked at McDonald's by Edison to attain extra stuff I wanted in high school. She responds, when I finish school, I'm getting one. How am I gonna get a job and have school and track practice and attend throughout the day? Then he responds, I caught the bus to school, then went to football practice, caught the bus to McDonald's for a 6-hour shift, all while maintaining a 2.2 GPA and being a star athlete. And that was meant to be like a mic drop moment for him. But I think the mic dropped on his head based on reactions.
That part
that Twitter has given him. So I guess my first question to you guys is, did he deserve the dragging that he got on Twitter from this?
Yeah, because he was trying to drag his daughter. So, I mean, he was trying to embarrass her, but it's like, sir, this is not, this isn't how you thought it should go. I mean, because there are plenty of students, student athletes who work and juggle things or whatever, but I think their situations are very different. He has money already, so that means his children kind of have money in that sense, mm-hmm. whereas him growing up, I'm sure he didn't, which is why he probably was juggling everything else. But also a 2.2 GPA. Now, granted, you're juggling a lot, so I understand that's probably why it was lower or whatever, but it could have been higher if you didn't have the job or if you weren't also doing, you know, football or whatever else. So mm-hmm. it's not like he said he had a 4.0 or a 3.5.
Right.
Or 3 or 2.5. Like, I'm just like...
Yeah, a lot of people were just like, you know, basically you're making her point for her. If you want her to make good grades and do all that, so like, you're not going to be able to keep everything up.
Exactly.
I will say also that I think athletes are held to a certain, to a different standard. Like, the grades don't have to be that great anyway, as long as yeah. you're performing on the field. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Hello, Rayshawn. I see you. He says, hey. Marcus, why don't you give us a quick reaction to this when you were reading through this? What were you thinking?
I was just like, this isn't the flex that you thought it was. Like a 2.2, like somebody said, that's just you showing up in the classroom. Like what no, that's not what it is. That's not what it's about. Like, you didn't even come with a 2.5 2.75, you said a 2.2, bruh. And you expect that to fly like nowadays? Nah, folks coming out here busting the grading scale with 4.2s and 4.8s. Nah, bro, 2.2 ain't gonna cut it. So you could have kept that.
Gotcha. All right. So I do see something in the chat that I wanted to bring up. Mama Shay says children shouldn't have to suffer if they don't have to. So my question, I guess that kind of ties into my next question, is like, should he have just bought the sneakers?
Well, I think that's where I was confused, because I think her message didn't necessarily say like, will you buy these for me? I interpreted her message as like, when are you going here? Let me go with you. Well, she probably already has money or an allowance or whatever else. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the only thing I say about that, I don't think that that was where this was coming from, because if she said she was going to buy it, then she would have said that. But I think it was like, you know, let me go with you because I want you to get these for me. Because if that weren't, you know, because if that were the conversation, yeah. he wouldn't have had that reaction. You know what I'm saying?
It makes sense.
Yeah. But I'm curious what you think, Mark. Because I feel like the message is good. I feel like the message is, you know, you work for what you want. How do we square that up with what he said?
I agree that the message is good, because that's one of my personal life philosophies. Like, you know, you work for what you want, whatever, what have you. Or anything worth having is worth working for. But I feel like in this situation, she made a good point, because you can't really, like, it's going to be hard for somebody to be a student athlete, get good grades, and I'm certain that he's requiring her to, and stole down a steady job, because it's fully grown folk, like, mm-hmm. grown folk that I teach that can't handle that. So it's like, no, like, just it. I don't know. Give her the shoes, pretty much, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Or I don't know, or maybe the compromise is like she works on the weekends. I don't know, but like, because like a lot of students can't handle the working during the middle of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, give her the shoes. I mean, like that, like goes into now you're spoiling the kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then a lot of people will then judge you for kind of spoiling your kids and you just buying them stuff and not letting them work for it. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
it's like, okay, sure.
It's weird because it's like, I know, like, if you want her, she's saying, I have to go to school and do track practice. How do you expect me to then have a job? And I get that. But at the same time, it's like, well, if you want something super expensive like Yeezys, then, you know, you can't have that right now. Maybe that's what he should have said. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. And maybe it's like, you don't get her everything she asks for. Like, okay, so you want this, and then you on pause until, you know, the summer or your birthday or whatever is next. Like, whatever big thing is next. Then we'll get you something else big. I don't know, but...
Mm-hmm. I know my poor people problems doesn't necessarily translate to this, but I think about how things were when I was younger. Like, every so often when I wanted something, my folks would get it for me because I was doing the schoolwork. And this, yeah. and his child seems like, not only is she doing the schoolwork, but she's also an athlete. So she's doing double work or whatever, what have you. I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, like rewarding her in that way. Probably like what Brandon said, don't buy her everything. Mm-hmm. But if this is something that she wants and she's been, you know, putting in the work to maintain being a student athlete, I don't see an issue with doing that.
Right. Connected is saying, as a former D1 athlete, many times athletes are given a pass in the classroom if they are adding value to their school on the playing field or
absolutely.
Court. Steph.
I get that. I personally don't like it because I'm just like, why are you able to not do anything in school, or why are you able to have people do all of your work? Like, especially in like on a university level. I mean, you know, there's a lot more grace given to athletes. They have students that just do their homework for them, and it's like, it's known, and all they do is go on the field and play ball. And it's just like, it would be nice. It would be nice if I had that luxury as well, you know? And it just, I don't know. Part of me was always just a little bit envious of that. But I do want to ask you guys, what was your high school work-life balance? Like, did you work in high school, or were you just focused on your studies or extracurriculars and stuff? What was that like?
I worked like the second half of 11th grade and then all through 12th grade. I worked fast food, similar to him. Originally, I worked like a couple days during the weekend, then every weekend. But my grade slipped a little bit. So mom was like, okay, yeah, no, you're going to just work on the weekend because you're not focusing. But I was just being lazy, which is honest, because I wasn't doing anything else. It was just school and work. But then after that, I only worked on the weekends until I graduated. So, till that summer after. But yeah.
Why did you work?
Well, I just wanted to. I think I was fortunate enough I didn't have to. But I also have never been the kid to ask for much of stuff either. But I was able to, you know, so I was putting gas in my own car and I was able to buy whatever I wanted. It wasn't a lot of stuff, you know, but just saved it up or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Marcus?
So I worked throughout my junior year and the first half of my senior year. I worked at TCBY, so, you know, yogurt place. And I worked partially because my folks told me I had to get a job. but also because, kind of like what Brandon said, I wanted to be able to have my own money, particularly because in my mind, I was going to be saving up and have some money put to the side for when I went to college. That didn't happen, but I still got the experience of what happened.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I didn't work until I was a freshman in college. And I think that was just like a seasonal thing. I think, it was just like, I just worked from like December to like November to January during like the Christmas season. And they never called me back to work. Never said they were fired. Never put me back on the schedule ever again. So I probably am still employed by GameStop. just haven't called me back.
But that's the thing too. I think though, I know seasonal. A lot of places they just don't. They're like, we hire seasonal. Season's over, and they just say, forget it.
Because okay. because I worked at Toys R Us when I was in grad school, and that's how the seasonal workers were. They called it all them people. The people didn't even have like passcodes. They just called them in to work during the Christmas season, and when it was over, see you later.
I'm glad it was just the season because my boss was awful. But yeah, I'm not going to get into that. But I do see we have some chats here. Mama Shay saying, I did school, swim team / football, band, church, and work on the weekends.
When did she sleep?
Listen.
That's a lot. That is so much. Football, though. That's interesting. You don't hear about a lot of ladies playing football in school, but that's cool. LT Williams saying, I worked one semester of sophomore year in high school, but that's it. Connected saying, I'm glad I didn't have to work. It would have been a mess. And I think I'm probably in the same boat. I just was like, I was not ready. I didn't care. But I guess, you know, the whole spoiled conversation that we just had a moment ago is part of the equation. But okay, so real quick, before we move into our next topic, I just want to say Patreon starts at $4 a month. You get access to Splitting the Bill. You get access to our Discord chat. And there's a bunch of other goodies in there, the higher levels that you go. So check us out, boysandbrunch.com or patreon.com/ Jared D. King. And have yourself a good time. And we are going to move into spanking your children via Eva Mendes. So let me pull up what she had to say on Instagram. Let me full screen this. She says, spanking does, she doesn't say, but she posted a quote. Hold on 1 second. Okay. Yeah, so she posted a quote that says, spanking does for a child's development what hitting a spouse does for a marriage. So I talked about this on my other show, Clink Clink, and a lot of people were kind of confused about what exactly she meant by that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious what your reaction is to that. Marcus, let me ask Marcus when he puts his ear, are you here?
Yeah, my bad. Somebody connected to my Bluetooth speaker, so I had to go hook that off.
Gotcha. It's all good. But did you get the quote that we...
Yeah, the whole, I mean, the, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, I just wanted to make sure before I took this off the screen. But Brandon, why don't you start us off? Like, what is your reaction to that? Spanking does for a child's development what hitting a spouse does for a marriage.
I don't know if I don't, the equation to abuse, like domestic abuse, I don't know if that's fully there, but I know a lot of people view spanking as abuse. Like, just trying to say child abuse the same as domestic or spousal abuse. And I mean, I get it, abuse is abuse, but I personally don't believe that spanking solely or whatever is abuse. So I think it's not the best. It's just, no, I didn't. Okay.
So you think it's not the best disciplinary tactic, but it's not necessarily in the abuse category.
I think her quote was not the best quote to use. I think that spanking alone, like I'm a fan of, like, if you spank your child, you should also have a conversation about them and like some consequences. Like, they don't need to be spanked for everything. And there's a difference between like spanking and then like beating them, essentially. You know what I'm saying? Like, going entirely too far, or you are very angry and you take out all your aggression on your child. That's not right. Mm-hmm. I guess I get what she was trying to say. I just would not have used maybe that quote to make my point.
Okay, got you. What I got from it was, you know, basically the result is that you destroy, the same way that you destroy your relationship, like in an abusive relationship, it's the same way that you kind of destroy your kid or destroy your parent-child relationship. So, I mean, I kind of understood what she meant, and I wasn't so much, it was interesting to me when I brought it up on my other show, because I did not even think about any other interpretations of that. But yeah, Marcus, what are you thinking about that?
I'm interested in how you framed that, because I didn't see it that way, but that what you said makes sense. Because I just saw it as like, you know, well, some people say like you and hit your spouse for not doing what you tell them to do, so why are you doing it to your kid? Which I also think is kind of flimsy. Like I said, yeah, a bad analogy. How's Endeavor? I think I've gotten to the point where I don't really agree with whooping your kids, spanking kids, however you want to frame it. Simply because most people don't do what Brandon just said. They just beat their kids and expect them to learn from it. Like, and for me, I feel like it's kind of one of those, like, the good doesn't outweigh the bad.
Yeah.
So I was like, just leave it alone. Just find something else to do, because you're going to end up just getting mad and just going upside your kid's head. And they're going to be just wondering what happened. And you're not going to be able to tell that to them.
Yeah. I think I'm kind of in the same boat. I don't personally. And, you know, I mean, we can talk about this. None of us have kids, I don't think. I know y'all don't have kids, right?
A fur baby, but, you know.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, like, I don't have any real parental experience. I just know as a child, it didn't really do anything for me, except for, you know, as an adult, I can go back to those moments where I was hit and just be like, man, that was just weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't, like, maybe it stops a behavior or it stops me from saying something in the moment, but I just don't feel like the long-term learning is there from hitting your kids. But I also know that there is like a cultural difference in how people discipline their kids. And for some people, it's like it's completely synonymous with abuse. Mm-hmm. And for others, it's just, you know, I'm just spanking them on the butt. You know, a little tap doesn't mean
that. But I also think too, though, like to your point, though, of course, we don't have kids, but I also think each kid is different as well. So, like, I think discipline looks different for each child that you have, which kind of sucks. I guess if you have a bunch of children in the house, but you can't discipline them all the same way, because they all, I'm sure, respond differently. Some work better with consequences or taking something away or even a timeout or whatever. And others, you gotta spank them, which, you know, you gotta put your hands. Sorry, you know. But others don't. But for others, though, because others, the fear of a spanking, that works better than like the fear of something being taken away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got you. Okay. So was spanking a part of your household growing up?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
I didn't get many, because I was one of the ones, the fear of a spanking. It was enough for me.
It just taught me to be sneaky and just to not get caught. You just don't get caught and you ain't got to worry about it.
Yeah, I won't say that it was necessarily a consistent thing for us, but I can remember a couple times, you know, getting hit on the legs or getting a spanking or getting smacked on the hands or something. But yeah, that's not anything that, you know, I talk to my parents now. They're like, you were never spanked. I was like, I can count on when y'all decided to get a little, you know, to go there. But yeah, just interesting. And, you know, it was so funny because that post that Eva Mendez posted, it was like, and I don't know if y'all saw the original post, but because I didn't do back and forth, which is what I meant to do. But she posted this, her like Oscars dress or something, and said, you know, this is an amazing Oscars dress, but nobody ever asked me about parenting. And then you click the button. So here's my quote about parenting. It was just very like, what? Like, what are we doing? And a lot of people, when I brought that up on my other show, said, you know, maybe that was just a little bit of a publicity thing that she kind of threw out there.
Because what is she doing now? I see it.
Yeah.
Doing it, thank you, Clout.
Okay, so we have our third topic. Staying in a relationship after a failed marriage proposal. So I am going to read a section. There is this thread on Reddit called AITA, which is basically, am I the asshole? And this guy wrote a whole story. I'm not going to go through the whole story, but there's this little section here that I'm going to just briefly go over. So he says, I've been living with my girlfriend for about 4 years now with no major issues. We've been together for 6 years. Last year, I proposed to her. She said no. She's not ready for that commitment. This is, okay, so something else I was going to, this is relevant to why she thinks I'm an asshole, which has nothing to do with what we were going into, so just erase that from your mind. Fine, fair enough. I'll try again later. I have the rest of my life to get that sorted out, and I love this girl, so we'll ride it out until she changes her mind. So that's kind of where his mindset mm-hmm. is.
I think they're also like, I think he's 26 and she's 24, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My question to that is that incredibly mature or is that incredibly stupid? Because I'm not really entirely sure which one
could
it
be
is.
Both. I don't know. I think because they're young. I'm giving a little bit of grace, I guess. But I don't believe in proposing if you don't know you're getting a yes, I don't believe in proposing. So like, I feel like you guys should have been having conversations like, we are ready for marriage to each other. Like, we want to be married together. Like, we see a life and a future with each other. Like, not just, we both want to be married. And then you go down and you drop on one knee. Like, no, do you want to be with me? You know what I'm saying? Or even also having conversations saying, I think we're ready for that step now. Like, I think how the proposal happens should be a surprise, but you getting engaged shouldn't be a shock, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you think it was a shock? Or, I mean, I don't know.
If she said yes,
I guess if she said no, it was a little bit of like, no, I'm not ready for that or whatever. It was definitely a shock to him, I'm sure. Marcus, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that like to stay in a relationship after your partner says no, after getting down on one knee? I mean, that's obviously what you want out of the relationship. And if the other person is like, no, I'm not ready for that, what do you do with that?
You know, different stroke for different folk. But that's for, but that's for me in my house.
Come on, that, Bible.
That would have been the end. That would have been the end of the relationship. I'm sorry. Because where do we go from here? Like, what are we doing? If you said no, and at least from how it's constructed, it's not like a not now, because that's different. Mm-hmm. It was a no. So you're waiting for nothing. So you might as well just go on about your business, go find you somebody else, and try again later.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I'm thinking. I'm just like, you know, if I ever got the courage to propose and the other person said no, then now we're at a point where it's like, if marriage is something that I want, am I willing to not have it? You know what I'm saying? Because how long are you going to wait for this person to change their mind? I mean, and we don't know what their private conversations were and whether she's just like, I just need some time. Like, it's what I want to do, but I just don't, you know, but you always have, that's like that carrot on a stick type of thing. You know, you're always going to mm-hmm. have that in front of you and you're never going to be able to attain it. It seems like it's just,
I would agree with you. If the story made it seem like she said, not now. The way that
I'm sorry, but I thought she did though. My interpretation, she said she wasn't ready for that kind of commitment now though, right?
Is that what she said?
She said,
I think.
She said, no, she's not ready for that commitment. She's not ready for that commitment.
That was it, so, just not ready? Okay.
She just said not ready. So, I mean, but people say that and that means I will never be ready, you know?
or also too, like a, like, what is it? People say, I'm not ready or I don't want to date. That means to you is always implied. Like, because she can be somebody tomorrow and be like, oh, this is the one. Like,
okay, so here's my thing, though. Like, you guys have been together for 6 years, though. It's not like this is brand new. So you're living together. So how are you not, like, if that, like, just say you don't want to get married, period. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand how a marriage proposal after somebody you've been with that long ends in a no. It's like you're basically doing it already. You know what I'm saying?
But Jared, it's not. It's probably not that the person don't want to get married. Period. They don't want to get married to him. Like I'm convinced because there's like you just said, there's no way you can be together for this amount of time. And they say, oh, let's get married. No, they don't. They leeching off you, bro. Like I hate to say it like that. She's shaking up in your house.
Right. Okay. So here, and that is a good point to the actual story, because the thing that he posted was he bought a house. She did not. She said no, and he went and bought a house for them to live in, but it's in his name, and now she's mad at him, thinking that that is kind of a get back thing, so kind of like revenge for her saying no. And I'm just like, I personally, I can't blame the guy.
No.
You know, we see a lot of these am I the asshole stories. And usually when you're writing it, it's a yes. But in this case, I can't, you know, if you don't want to be committed to me, I'm not going to. And he said that he wasn't going to put a lot of the financial responsibilities for the house on her, aside from just, you know, paying for living there or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was just, I don't know, it was just interesting conversation there. I have a couple questions on this that I'm going to move this into a different realm. Okay. Do you want to do the proposing, or would you want to be proposed to? Let's go with Marcus first.
Every time I've thought about it, I've always visualized myself doing the proposing. But now I'm running through my head to see how I would feel about being proposed to. And I don't know. So I'm going to say that I would want to do the proposing.
Okay. All right. Brandon.
Yeah, I think I would be proposed to. And it's not necessarily something that I guess I want. I just think just the way I'm set up, I don't see myself like going and like buying a ring or playing. I just don't see me doing that.
Got you. Okay. I think for me, I would see myself, and I'm only laughing because I feel like, okay, I'll explain while I'm laughing in a minute, but I feel like I could do either the proposing or be proposed. I think I would prefer to be proposed to, just because I am just so like, with the emotional romantic energy, I just put so much out. I just feel like it would be the other person's job to reciprocate that, and you know what I'm saying. But okay, so I'm laughing though, because I feel like this falls along sexual position lines, because Marcus said that he would propose, Brandon said he would like to be proposed too, and I'm saying I could do either way, but I would prefer one day. And if y'all
can read between the lines,
if y'all don't know who we are already, like, you can kind of guess.
Shut up. You make me sick.
So my question is, who is expected to do the proposal in a gay relationship? That's my last question for this topic.
I think most folks will probably assume the top would do it. But I think it really depends on the relationship, because sometimes the bottom could be the more dominant person as well. And I think it's more so a personality thing than it definitely is a sexual position thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a more of a personality thing. So if you're like a power bottom, you would propose.
Okay.
No, I didn't saw porn fast enough.
I'm just saying, you know, or if you like, you know, what do you call it? Like a what's the opposite? What's the opposite for like a top? Like a
soft top?
Power top?
Yeah, like a soft top.
Oh, the opposite. Got you. Sorry. I mean, yeah, I don't. But I think, like Mama Shade said though, I've seen a lot of people though. It's like, one person pulls out the ring, and then another person pulls out a ring as well. So I guess they both had planned to propose, and then it just happens.
It makes me think of Sense8. That's what happened with one of the gay couples on there. They just proposed at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I just want, like, but the thing is, you can't plan for that. You know, that kind of has to just happen. Mm-hmm. And if you do plan for that kind of a thing to just keep it equal, then it takes the spontaneity out of the moment out, and it becomes a show for everybody else who's around you. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're then mm-hmm. planning that. So yeah, I just feel like it's a weird, I mean, have you ever discussed that with any of your boyfriends? Like, if you were in a relationship, like, would you, you know, is that something that you would let your boyfriend know? Oh, I want you to propose to me if we're ever to get married. Or do you just never say anything? And I feel like if you never say anything, does it ever happen?
Yeah, no, I definitely think it's something that needs to be discussed. I just have never been anywhere near the place where that happens. But yeah, I definitely think it's something that needs to be discussed.
Mm-hmm. And I think, go ahead, Brandon.
I was gonna say, I think I've discussed it. I mean, we weren't anywhere near where that should have been happening either, but I think it just came up. And so, yeah, it's still the personality types. They would have been the one to propose. But yeah.
Okay. I have another question that just came to mind, because now we get into who's taken whose last name and what preferences you guys have for that. So I'm curious about that one. I personally really like my last name. I think it's, you know, it's very regal. So it would be nice for both of us to have my last name. But I'd be open to hyphenating. But if you don't have a cool last name, I'm not just gonna take it, you know? And like you have to be like Prince Charming for me to want to take your last name. You have to be it. Okay. I mean, I guess if I'm getting married, then that's basically what's happening, but still, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
That doesn't excite me. Like, I really don't care about that. Because I can tell you my name, period. Point blank. Like, all the stuff that I have done is under my name. My name is staying with me. And it's not even really, it's not even no big deal for me, for the person I'm with, to take my last name. Because, like, I don't care about that. Like, that doesn't excite me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't excite me, so I really don't care either way. I'm keeping my name, and you can keep yours.
Okay. So just everybody in their separate corners, as far as you're concerned.
That's not what I said. We're still married. Whether the name's better or not, we still live in the house together. We still doing what we do as a married couple. Mm-hmm. The name doesn't excite me.
I got you. Okay. Brandon, where are you on that? Keeping the same names? You're Brandon Harris Williams, da da da.
No, that's what I'm saying. Brandon, my last name is already hyphenated.
Jack.
So I think I would legally change mine, but just still go by Harris Williams. Because I want everybody in the house to have the same last name. So I don't mind changing mine. That's fine. Then I have to take mine. I just, I think just because I've submitted the stuff, I've done stuff under Harris Williams, it's got to stay. Like, it's just, and also, too, like, it is. It's not common to have a hyphenated last name. So, like, Brandon is very common, but my last name is not. So I would keep it at least for, like, writing stuff and whatever else. So, yeah, I would not change it for work, I guess. But legally, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing this, I'm going to say what you said, and kind of what those two comments you just put up said, is, like, if you're keeping the name professionally, like, if that's what, like, say, you know, Brandon, you go out and you're writing scripts, and you know your name is plastered on people's CV screens and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, my name is on all the books and stuff that I write. If it's not changed in the public eye, is it even changed? Because, yes, it's changed legally, and you may sign it on, like, mortgage notice and stuff, but who sees that?
I mean, but I guess it's like Wendy Williams. Like, everybody called her Williams, even though she'd been married as Williams Hunter for forever, you know?
Like, or Beyonce. Marcus is saying the last name is almost, on some level, partly to show everyone else that you guys are together. And if you're not doing that, why even bother? Is what I'm guessing they're kind of saying, Marcus. And I almost think, you know, maybe if you guys are on like the same level, like if you're out there and your, you know, screenplays are doing crazy and, you know, everybody knows your name and your partner nobody knows who he is, then, you know, of course you're going to keep your name. But if everybody knows who he is, then that might be something different. Like, you know, Jada Pinkett became Jada Pinkett Smith because everybody knows her husband's Will Smith. But if she was going to be Jada Pinkett, you know, Jada Pinkett King, like, why? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess it's just individual situations there. I do want to jump into this last topic, though, that is losing focus on love. So let me share this tweet for you guys. Hold on. This one is quite interesting. Okay, so the tweet says, or let me pull this up so you guys can read it. Tweet says, we got DM boyfriends, we got timeline boyfriends, we got side things, we got weekend men, we got quote unquote gay husbands, we got late night regulars, we got quote unquote smoking pokes, we got FWBs, which stands for friends with benefits. Anybody ever think all of this keeps us from focusing on and finding what we really want? Brandon, I think you had mentioned this tweet to us. I want you to give us your reactions to this. I want you to start with your reactions to that. First of all, I want to ask you what the definitions are for these. Because some of these things I don't know. Like, what is a DM and a timeline boyfriend?
To my understanding, probably DM boyfriend is probably somebody you just flirt with all the time in DMs. It can't go past that. It cannot. I think the same thing with the timeline boyfriend. Because some people flirt all day on the timeline, but it don't go past that. Like, they don't even have each other's numbers properly. Or, you know what I'm saying, they don't necessarily DNM. Okay. Like, smoke and poke, y'all meet, you know, you want to match, you want to roll, you want to, you know, light one up, and then you might feel a little way after you light it up, and, you know, you poke.
That's how you get a lot of the DM boys.
That's what the kids say. That's
this
drink, though.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. But okay, so then what is your reaction to this tweet? Do you think that keeps us or distracts us from finding what we really want? And I'm guessing what he said, he's speaking to people who want a relationship, who want to be in love, and, you know, does that keep us from that?
I think if you're probably entertaining a lot of people, nobody's necessarily seriously, then you won't get anything serious. Yeah. Or if you're, I think his thing is his thing, I guess, probably is like your plate is full. Like, you can't necessarily like focus on one thing when your attention is split 30 different ways. Or if you're just passively doing all of these other things, but you say you want something serious, you say you want something long term, then yeah, I can see that. I think, like Mama Shay said, though, I think any of that stuff can lead to something serious, but you have to pursue it past the point of just flirting or whatever else.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's nice to say that that can all lead to stuff, but I feel like, you know, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't. You know what I'm saying? People get what they want out of the relationship, or if they don't have to work for certain things in a relationship and they just get everything, then they're not going to see you as respectable enough to be their lifelong partner, is what I think is probably the idea. Marcus, I'm curious what you think. Is that stuff like a distraction?
I'm probably going to say no, simply because I feel like a lot of people who have all of those things, they're not necessarily looking for a long-term relationship. Like, they got what they want. They want a fuck buddy, and they got that. Or just somebody they can just, like, you know, flirt with when they're bored. I feel like the person who has these sorts of people, maybe that's not what they're looking for. I feel like this comes from a position where this comes from a person who sees all these types of interactions and feels like, you know, that they're missing out. So they're like, well, but you're doing this and you're not giving me what I want. What I want is a relationship. Well, these people don't want a relationship. So you can't put your thoughts and your ideas on these people. So it's like it's two different things. It's two different approaches that people are taking.
Yeah. My feeling on this is I don't feel like it's a distraction. I think you can have a friend with benefits, or you can have somebody that you see basically for sex and still pursue. Whoops, I knocked my headphones out. But you can still pursue a relationship outside of that. You can still find other people to kind of date and stuff. And I'll speak personally. I think that's basically what I do. Plug my mic in. Hold on. See, that's what happens when you put your feet up in the chair. But yeah, that's kind of where I am. I'm just like, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are distracted. Mm-hmm. I think some people get their feelings involved when they start doing that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Personally, I'm the type of person who can be like, okay, if you are in this section, okay, like you're over there and I'm not even going to even entertain anything. Right. Are you guys the same way? Are you able to kind of compartmentalize, or when you have like a friend with benefits, do you usually catch feelings? Brandon.
I don't know, but I'm different. I'm damaged. But I'm different. But I think if you're doing the like the timeline stuff or the DM stuff, a lot of these people don't live in the same city that we do, for most of us. So it's like I mean, I never see so and so or whatever. We might flirt and trade nudes or whatever, but I think we both know it's not anything serious unless that's been explicitly stated that we want to do more or attempt more.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a distraction.
Okay. Yeah. What about awareness? Are you able to be in that kind of a sexual relationship and not really want to pursue anything else? Do you
almost definitely.
Yeah.
Almost definitely. No, I've done it several times before. It's like, and I think it's something that we have. Not you put me on the lush train. I feel like it's something that, you know, that we do a lot of. Like, you know, you have people say all the time, it's like, oh, I met the one, so I'm cutting all my other holes off. Like, that's pretty much this. Like, you know, you're doing these things, having fun. And if you get to the point where you actually want to pursue something, whether it be with one of these, you know, friends with benefits or what have you, or with somebody completely different. Like, you can get to the point where like, all right, well, y'all, it was fun. It's been real, but time to go.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so interesting how we see this tweet and almost everybody that was responding to this tweet was like agreeing, like, yeah, you know, nobody wants to say that, but, you know, it's a distraction. But I think we've seen that, you know, like even what I put up Ty McKinney's quote, you said, you feel like the ability to compartmentalize is key in this discussion. And I feel like that's basically what I don't think it's necessarily settling for less just to have some kind of interaction with somebody who you think is cute or whatever. Mm-hmm. So what space are you guys in now? Do you have one of those things, a DM boyfriend or a timeline boyfriend or a friend with benefits? And
you're trying to get me in trouble.
What's your situation?
Okay.
There? Marcus.
Yeah. Praise God.
Joke. I plead the fifth.
Really? You can't even give us like a little.
Okay. Are you single?
So let me say this.
Single.
You're single.
Does somebody think they are in a relationship with you?
That's the question.
I hope that, Lord, I hope not.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to say that I'm not going to speak for Marcus. I'm just going to assume what I think he's saying is that there are multiple people involved and he doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So I'm just going to leave that at that. That's my interpretation.
But you don't have to confirm or deny.
I did.
He's free to be single. Whatever that entails.
Brandon, what's your current situation now?
I'm currently single as well. There's, you know, a few people we flirt and we do whatever with. I'm not necessarily like really meeting with a bunch of people or anything like that. So that part is a little dry, but you know, the flirtation and DMs and text messages that happen.
Really?
Okay. Trading nudes and such. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Very cool. I think for me, I do have a friend with benefits.
What?
I lost one. Because he was just goofy. Like, you know how we talk. I don't know if we said it on the main show or in Splitting the Bill, but something about like, what do you call them? Like breadcrumbers? He's basically a breadcrumber. And I was just like, you're not going to text me on New Year's and Thanksgiving and Christmas just to say, hey, and we not doing nothing. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to have to just put you to the side for a minute until you get your mind right. Doors open. But just come with some action. Don't just waste my time. You know what I'm saying? My last question for this topic is, what does focusing on finding what you want look like? What does that look like for you? And I guess, you know, I can start. I think focusing on finding what I want, like if I were to take all of that away, friend with benefits, DM boyfriends, whatever, if I was to take all that away and just focus on finding love, it very much looks like me either swiping through Tinder or going out and not being able to hold conversations with a lot of people in the bars or something because there's all this weird energy. And just kind of sitting in the house and waiting for something to happen. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm like, yeah, like sometimes you might need that other thing for, you know, in order to just stay satisfied on some level, whether it's sexual or whether it's just trying to get, you know, that energy from, you know, another man or another woman, even if it's not the romantic, you know, end all be all of relationships. I'm curious what focusing on finding someone looks like for you guys. Do you guys go out on multiple dates with people? Do you have friends who introduce you to people? Do you see a matchmaker? Like, what's up?
Brandon, I think everybody that I've talked to, we've met either some kind of like social media and app or something like that. I indirectly met someone in person one time, but like nothing else has like been in person interactions. That we've met on an app or social media of some type, and then we met in person that way. But I think, I mean, I don't know, because I personally don't view all those other things as a distraction. So I think when you meet someone, for me, and then I'm like, oh, this might could be something or whatever, kind of scale back with everybody else. And then like Marcus said, okay, let me cut everybody off. Like, hey, I'm talking to somebody now, or I'm dating somebody, you know, the trading news or whatever, we got to stop that. Or, you know, like, we're going to be respectful, whatever, that kind of a thing. So I think for me, it's just communicating to people that I'm not going to do that anymore. And then try to find someone, I guess, in person. Versus DMs who live a million states away.
Right. Marcus, what about you?
I actually feel like my approach would have to change because most of the people who have actually dated, I've met in person, like, but it's through like conferences, conventions, at school, so on and so forth. But the place I am in life now, I didn't meet nobody at my job. Like, you know, I'm not in school no more for real. So it's like, I feel like I would have to go like the digital route. And I think for me, that would just mean changing my approach. Because I feel like how I approach people now is with the idea of, yeah, we're just going to fool around for a little while, see what happens. And you go boring, I'm going to keep moving. I feel like I would just have to,
I was going to ask, why is that? Because I feel like maybe that might be that mindset that this guy's talking about. The, you know, let me just approach people with this certain thing in mind and not necessarily the romantic stuff. I mean, do you split it up? I mean, like, how do you change that mindset depending on who you're talking to?
I feel like it's all in the approach. Like, because you approach somebody with an energy of, or making it clear that I'm just here, I'm gonna say, just to fool around, then that's what you're going for. That's not a distraction for me getting, a relationship, because that's not what I'm looking for right now. But if it was, then it's just simply like, hey, like what they do in the movies. It's just, I really want to take this slow and, get to know you. It's that type of thing. It's the difference between that and like, location, can you host?
That part, like, what you doing tonight? Where you at?
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, I think right now for me, I've gotten to the point where I'm just like, I've told y'all that I've gotten rid of Tinder. I'm not on Tinder. I'm not on any of the apps. And I really just want to focus on attracting. There's that whole idea of, what do you call it? Like attraction something. I forget the, y'all know what I'm talking about. The energy of attraction or whatever that is. I'm trying to focus on just being my best self so that I can attract the people who are attracted to my best self. Now, does that happen often? I mean, I guess online it does, but it's like online, how then you get into DMs or texting, and then it's just like it doesn't really go anywhere. Like many times it doesn't. So I don't know. It's a weird situation, but hopefully once we open up a little bit more, I can step out and see who's around and maybe get some more connections that way. So that would be interesting. But I think that's basically all we have for today. I have some topics lined up for splitting the bill, one of them being competitive dating. So yeah, we have some things to talk about, but of course, splitting the bill, we're going to be a little bit looser. So it's like, well, if we don't get to something, then it's okay, because we just talk and talk and talk. But I am Jared D. King. I am joined with Brandon Harris Williams, Marcus Haynes. Why don't you guys let them know where to find you online, Brandon, and then Marcus.
You can find me online on Twitter at just call me Otis.
Yes, I am loose as a deuce on pretty much everything. Twitter, Instagram. I'm thinking about building up a TikTok, so all of those things.
Okay,
Right
all right,
now.
awesome. Yeah, I'm and Matt, of course, I'm at Jared D. King everywhere. So let's raise a glass, everyone.
Very little left, but yeah.
Very
It's
little.
all good. So we'll have a little time for a refill afterwards.
Yeah.
be careful what you say, because the boys will brunch. Take care.